I'd like to bring the House Committee on Consumer Protection for the Oregon State Legislature to order. It's Friday, May 18th.
Yay!
First up, we're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 431A. Steve, give us a brief summary of the bill, please.
Thank you, Chair Holby. Senate Bill 431A prohibits landlords with ongoing relationships with towing businesses from removing tenant vehicles without notice, unless prior notice was given to the tenant, agreed on in writing, authorizing the tow without notice, and sticker provided to prevent tower from removing vehicle, and also has other provisions related to landlords and tenants' relationships and towing.
Thank you, and we're pleased to have Senator Gordley, sponsor of the bill, up, and Sean Cruz.
Good afternoon, Chair Holby, members of the committee. I am Yvel Gordley, representing Senate District 23 in Multnomah County, and it's a delight to be before your committee this afternoon with Senate Bill 431. And I just want to make a few remarks and then need to return to my office for another meeting, but want to acknowledge and honor all of the hard work that has gone into this piece of legislation and crafting this public policy, all of the hard work of my chief of staff, Sean Cruz. I also want to acknowledge the work of a couple of people behind me. I think I see Al Elkins in the room, who represents the TORS, and Sean Miller, are you back there? Representing landlord-tenant interest. These two gentlemen have also worked very hard and cooperatively in a partnership with our office to craft the bill that is before you. I know that you have some amendments. I know that you have that you've not had a chance to fully read and understand the amendments, and I understand that it's not the chair's intent to move the bill to date, but it is my hope that you will get to that place at the appropriate moment and move the bill forward. With that said, I'm going to step back and allow my chief of staff to present to you why this bill is so important to our constituents. And again, I just want to thank you very much, Chair Holby and members of the committee, for hearing Senate Bill 431 this afternoon.
Thank you, Senator. It's a pleasure having you here in front of our committee, and it looks like this is a great bill. So we'll go ahead and hear from your chief of staff, and then we'll see if the committee has any questions for him. And I know you have a meeting, so I'll turn you loose
all
anytime
right.
You want to leave.
Thank
but
you
you're
so
welcome to stay as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair Holby, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sean Cruz, chief of staff for Senator Yvel Gordley. Thank you for hearing this bill today. This bill, our interest in this legislation arose in midway through the 05 session when I'm a homeowner in Northeast Portland, and I live next door to two triplexes that are owned by an absentee landlord, Hacienda Community Development Corporation. And without notice to the neighbors, and apparently with little notice to their own tenants, they entered into a contract with a patrol towing company and just started towing. And we were in session at the time, but it was past the deadline and we had no priority bills. I got up on a Saturday morning and found my car was gone, and so was another car I was storing on my property.
Oh my God.
From my property. And over the next 3 days, they trespassed on my property and stole a vehicle a total of three times. broke my transmission. I got a rent a car. They towed that one too. And I saw them extort money from my neighbors. When we get to the governor's bill signing ceremony, there'll be a lot of the neighbors there to celebrate. Over the 2 years that I've witnessed this happening, as recently as a month ago, they trespassed on my property and stole my car again.
Dear goodness.
And this is the one that's been sitting there with a broken transmission for 2 years, the last time they towed it. And I've been waiting for them to fix it. So there's that personal, but plus watching how this patrolling contract played out with my neighbors, where repeatedly their own cars were towed from their parking places time after time after time. And these were original tenants that had been living in that complex for a year before they instituted the patrol parking. And it just... If the residents could be here today, they'd tell you they still don't know why their cars were towed, because A, they were their cars, B, they had permits, and C, they were parking them where they always park them. The problem that this legislation does not get to the root of is that the way that system works is the landlords pay nothing for the service. All the costs are borne by whoever the tow company managed to find and tow. And they've always towed my vehicles about 5:30 in the morning. That's when they're prowling around there in the dark. So all the judgment calls are made by tow truck drivers who are paid on commission. And that's the root of the problem. But Senator Gordley has asked me to read her floor statement into the record here, and that'll give you some broader background. And she stated on May 10th, Senate Bill 431 arises in response to many dozens of citizen complaints regarding predatory patrol towing. Predatory patrol towing abuses occur as a result of arrangements between landlords and patrol towing companies where on-the-spot towing decisions are deferred to tow truck drivers working on a commission or bonus system despite the obvious conflict of interest. I want to note for the record that patrol towing is illegal in many other states, including Washington and California, and that many Oregon towers refuse to engage in the practice. The United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit has upheld the California statute, stating the ban, and I quote, protects both the vehicle owner and the public from towing mistakes, which may lead to dangerous confrontations, to the owner and his or her family being stranded at a dangerous time or location, to false vehicle theft reports, which waste law enforcement's limited resources, to unnecessary hazardous tows, and to similarly unsafe circumstances. The ordinance also protects against theft of vehicles from private property. End of quote. That opinion by the U.S. Court of Appeals captures the gist of the problems created in Oregon by patrol towing. Towing mistakes, for the burden of resolving issues and errors, falls entirely and unfairly on the citizenry and through the small claims process at the public expense. Vehicle owners stranded at dangerous times and locations. Vehicle theft reports and the actual theft of vehicles theft by tow truck, an additional burden on Oregon taxpayers. I also want to note for the record that all of the complaints received by my office arise from conduct in the private property impound or PPI sector of the towing industry, also known as patrol towing. It is my belief, and this is Senator Gordley speaking, that towers on the whole provide superb service along our roads and highways and in service to the public and to the transportation industry in general. However, in an industry largely unregulated and that has failed to regulate itself, some players in the private property impound sector of the towing industry have developed a niche market in commission-driven vehicle towing that is unrelated to the lawful, legitimate services that towing companies provide to Oregonians throughout the state in the normal transaction of business. Senate Bill 431, as amended, reflects compromises reached by the Landlords Tenants Coalition and patrol towers. This legislation targets some some of the key areas of abuse, but does not go so far as an outright ban on patrol towing, a ban which I would support. This measure prohibits landlords with ongoing relationships with patrol towing businesses from removing tenants' vehicles from designated parking areas without notice to the tenant. This provision applies only to designated parking areas and not to fire lanes, etc. The bill requires landlords to provide written notice to tenants of patrol towing contracts that state the actual cost the tower will charge to release the tenant's vehicle, and requires landlords to provide tenants with appropriate stickers to safeguard the tenant's vehicle from wrongful towing. The bill prohibits the towing of tenants' vehicles for expired stickers. The bill also prohibits the towing of a disabled vehicle without 72 hours notice to the tenant. These provisions are the result of negotiations between landlords, patrol towers, and tenants' advocates. They do not address the commission-driven root of the patrol towing problem that exists in our state, but they do offer important protections to Oregonians and should help reduce the burden patrol towing places on our law enforcement resources. And that is her statement. The bill passed on a unanimous vote.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. Questions from the committee? Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, Mr. Cruz, for being here. I'm trying to figure out what happens to someone who violates this statute, and I can't quite figure it out. Do you have an answer to that question?
Good question. I don't have an answer. I'm sorry. Chair Holby, Representative Bonamici. I'm sorry. I don't have an answer to that question.
Okay. It looks... Follow-up, please, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up, please.
It looks like this is going to be... Is this going to be in the landlord-tenant law?
Yes. Chair Holby, Representative Bonamici, the answer is yes.
Thank you. I hope there's somebody here who can answer that question. There's heads nodding. Thank you. Okay.
Representative Galizio, question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry I was a little late. I was making sure that Representative Gilliam's car was safe. Mr. Cruz, you use the term patrol towing. And I'm wondering, is that an industry term, and you mentioned that it was illegal in some other states. Is that an industry term, and or is that a term that's used in statute in other states? Or
Chair Holby, Representative Galizio, I believe it's an industry term. As for in statute, I think they use the word private property impound, or the term, and its legal reference would be PPI, or private property impound towing.
Thank you.
Questions, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair, what happened to the bill to ban this?
Chair Holby, Representative Riley, this was the bill. Going in, it effectively called for an effective ban. But through a couple of months of negotiations with the landlord-tenants coalition, this is the language that we all agreed upon.
Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you. Sean, I'm glad that you and Senator Gordley brought this bill because I know about this. What do you do when you have visitors? Does the landlord give you a bunch of extra stickers? You go out and every time and put them on these other vehicles? And I mean, this is awful.
Chair Holby, Representative Nelson, excellent question. One of the issues that we wanted to get to in the legislation was, so you're a tenant, and mom's coming over for dinner, and you want to let mom park in your designated parking spot safely without having the vehicle towed away before you've even sat down at the table, because they work very quickly. I can't say that we've solved that problem. Chair Pozanski of the Senate Commerce Committee did direct all of the parties to this legislation that over the biennium, during the interim, they'll be looking at what happens and bring this issue back in 09 if we need to go further. That we'll be looking to see how the industry takes these directions and implements them.
We have a follow-up, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Well, I think we need to do something about that one before this goes further.
because very few of us are in this world alone, you know, without any friends or relatives that ever come to see us, or children. Well, that might not be bad. Well, yeah, grown kids that drive, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, the damage that was done to your car, I'm very upset about this. How do you go? I mean, there's nothing in here that, you know, holds the tow truck driver responsible for damage, and, you know, without you having to hire a lawyer, you know, spend more money than the repair may or may not have cost, but yet it's not your, shouldn't be your burden.
Yes, thank you, Chair Holby, Representative Nelson. I did have to take the tour to small claims. That is a tremendous burden.
Yeah.
You know, it takes several days of,
sure,
you know, to get through that process. And while I was the prevailing party, I could not prove to the court that they actually broke my transmission. The fact that it worked just fine up until, you know, we commuted to the Capitol every day, you know, until they towed it, and then the transmission was broken when I got it back. We were at the 50-50 mark, according to the judge. Let me look at that differently in the future now. There's an educational piece that's going on behind this. But it's about $2,500 worth of damage.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions from the committee? Sean, I appreciate your testimony, and, you know, my heart goes out to you having all this problem with your car and repeated towings. And, you know, I hope we're able to get this bill going, and that the interim look at this will further define how we can stop some of the harm that's going on out there. Appreciate you showing up and giving us the rendition that you have. Good luck.
Thank you.
Hope your car stays put.
Thank you.
I notice Senator Atkinson is in the crowd. Are you wishing to testify on this bill, Senator? Or
595, sir.
595. Are you on a tight time frame here?
Actually, I am.
Well, in that case, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 431 and open a hearing on Senate Bill 595. Senator, please.
Thank you. Thank you all very much, and Mr. Chair, I very much appreciate the courtesy, as I have. I don't know how on a Friday at the end of session, three things going, scheduled at 1:15. For the record, Jason Atkinson, State Senator from Southern Oregon. This issue came up, and I'm here today to briefly talk about it. We've brought some folks up from Southern Oregon. But talk to you about the A2 and the A3 amendments to the bill, which would allow people to have insurance on those who rent these types of vehicles. And more than anything, we have consumer protection. But it looks like, at least the way I read the bill originally, more of an oversight than anything else. And so this simply fixes that oversight and also puts an emergency clause on the bill, and I think it's a good bill.
Thank you. Committee had time to look at this one.
I'm trying to get to the committee, you know, shell-shocked, go real fast and run out of the room before you have any tough questions. But
okay, well, we'll
save that's working.
We'll save our tough questions for the other proponents of the bill, because I don't see any opponents at this
thank
point.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and thank you again, Mr. Chair, for letting me come
up. Question, Mr. Chair.
Well, he's on a tight time schedule. I think it's up to him whether he wants to take it or not.
I'll take it from Representative Gilliam.
It's really unfair.
I'd be careful about whether you do or not.
It's going to be about a yeah, Senator, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you in our committee room. And I just wanted to know if this would also cover vintage cars, old German cars, for instance.
Well, I do not wear, Mr. Chair, Representative
Gilman.
Gilliam.
Gerard.
I'm not exactly sure that where the line of questioning is coming as being a proud owner of an American car. I do not believe that recreational vehicle in its legal definition would encompass the types of vehicles that you're inquiring about.
Well, follow up, Mr. Chair.
I don't know. Does the senator yield to another question?
Thank you for the courtesy.
I warned you.
Oh, sure. I'll yield to the junior house member from
number 60.
Oregon's number 60. He's first in our heart, but around here, he's number 60. Right.
Got that right, Senator.
I don't know if he's first in all our hearts.
No, I was the last part of it.
As they say, in Silverpool, anywho, just as a caution, I don't doubt the veracity of any answer that you can give to us under oath, but just as a caution there, Representative Belizio regularly checks the garage for what you're driving. So all of us, actually. We've all been subject to his spot checks. So just be sure that what you're saying is accurate in terms of the cars that you're driving.
It's accurate. Today it's in a gas-guzzling hybrid Suburban. But it was nearly an electric bicycle, as the car wouldn't start this morning.
I think we're done.
It's from both extremes. Thank you very much, and I appreciate the dash A2 and A3s. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator, and I'm glad you got some entertainment before you left.
Is that what it was?
Well, is this Cruz's bill?
Okay. Well, with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 595 and reopen the hearing on Senate Bill 431. Did I lose my testimony, people?
I thought you were running from the room.
Could I have up Sean Miller, Sybil Hebb, and Steve Bryant?
How many more Sean's are there today?
Thank you, Chair Holvey. Steve Bryant, I am the Interim Legislative Director for the League of Oregon Cities. That's a tough act to follow, by the way. I want to, first of all, thank Senator Gordley for bringing this issue forward. I happened to watch the testimony in Senate Commerce and hear many of the personal stories that were told, much like Sean Cruz's story that you heard earlier. And speaking from the perspective of cities, it's important for you to know and appreciate that one of the key missions of our organization is to strengthen livable communities and to protect our residents, particularly those renters who need the security of being able to protect their possessions, particularly their vehicles, as important as they are these days. There were and have been many horrendous examples of cars being towed wrongly in apartment complexes. A story that was told, a Gresham man whose car was towed while he was in his wife's parking spot. In another instance, a resident who had just moved into an apartment complex and had her car towed while it was parked in her space with a permit visible. Her car was returned to her without charge 39 days later. Clearly, such practices harm the quality of urban life, and we'd argue that cars ought to be towed when they should be towed, not simply because they can be towed. Cities in Oregon have sought to address this problem locally and have enacted ordinances to curb the practice of predatory towing, and the League, again, would thank Senator Gordley for addressing this in a statewide manner while still allowing local governments to set policies that are best suited for their communities. I would also add that, as I read the bill, it does not apply in the public right-of-way. Cities all have their own ordinances that apply to towing of vehicles in the public right-of-way. This applies to private premises. We've not had much opportunity to review the Dash 5 amendments. A question I would raise for you that just caught my eye when I looked at it on the second page on line 23, it basically says this section does not apply to a landlord of a facility, and I think we need some clarification on what the intent of that exception is. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions on behalf of the League of Cities.
Excuse me, where was that?
Excuse me, the Dash 5 amendments, page 2, lines 22 and 23.
Thank you. I think we're going to go ahead and listen to the rest of the testimony before we take questions. Who's up next?
I believe that's me. Chair Holvey, members of the committee, Sybil Hebb from the Oregon Law Center, in support of Senate Bill 431 on behalf of the Law Center as well as the, as a member of the General Landlord-Tenant Coalition, which had the opportunity to look at this bill and make some of the recommendations that are before you today. I also want to express my great thanks to Senator Gordley and to Mr. Cruz for bringing this issue forward and for identifying the significance of the predatory towing practices and the impact that they have on our clients. Our clients are particularly impacted by these practices because our clients are low income, and therefore the loss of a car and the need to utilize public transportation, sometimes to travel great distances to get to work, for example, is significant. And so we very much appreciate the committee's attention to this and Senator Gordley's support. I wanted to just mention a couple of things. There was a question raised as to what the damages would be for a violation by a landlord of these provisions. And I'll have to get back to the committee with a specific answer, but this bill will make these provisions a part of the General Residential Landlord-Tenant Act, and there are damages provisions throughout that act. I'm ashamed to say that I can't tell you off the top of my head what the site is that would apply to this particular provision, but I will be sure to get that answer. Generally speaking, damages are calculated in terms of the amount of monthly rent, and, you know, certain times the number of monthly rent is usually what the damages are couched in, but I don't know what the specifics are for this particular one. The other thing I can mention is that I do note that in the amendments, which do get at the general consensus of the group, as best I can tell, that there are a few technical glitches that I notice are left out. One is the definition of facility, and I think that does need some clarification that was previously pointed out. There's also on line 14 of the first page of the bill, the bill is prohibiting the or allowing towing of vehicles that are violating a posted parking prohibition. Our intent is to make sure that that posted parking prohibition is prominently posted, and that important word was left out of that. So we'll be sure to look through these amendments and make sure that there aren't other areas that need just some refining. The bottom line is this bill, in conjunction with the protections offered by Senate Bill 116, which regulate the towing industry, this bill provides some clarity and guidance around how landlords can police and manage their parking lots and protect the rights of the tenants living in their buildings. And so we're grateful for the protection that's offered and appreciate the committee's attention.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sean Miller here today on behalf of the Oregon Rental Housing Association. I, too, want to thank Senator Gordley and Sean Cruz. You can tell, you know, their passion towards this issue. We were able to identify some clear problems that were going on with the industry. And it first started with Senate Bill 116, which this committee already had passed out. And in the discussion of Senate Bill 116, which is the major, the Attorney General's towing bill this session, separating the landlord-tenant components of that bill out of that bill, which is what you see before you in Senate Bill 431. The idea behind Senate Bill 431, the challenge that the Landlord-Tenant Coalition had when looking at these issues is there was some clear problems identified with people that were legally supposed to be in that spot and that were being towed. The landlords do not condone that at all, and obviously wanted to, we don't want towers to just be able to take tenants' cars without very specific reasons. And so one of the ways we try to do is to identify those specific reasons that you were able to tow, and then those that aren't. Some of the stories that Sean Cruz and others in the Senate came out that, you know, I can tell you we agree wholeheartedly with is dealing with inoperable vehicles. Folks were being able to, even though they were legal, they had a spot, they were supposed to be there, you could just tow them out without notice. And we said, no, that's not right. There was other issues of expired tags. Why, if someone is legally parked in their spot, should a tower come and just because they had expired tags be able to tow them? We said, we're not the state of Oregon. If someone has expired tags and they're parked in the lot, if they're legal, they're legal, and you shouldn't be able to tow. One of the most important components about this bill, I believe, or elements of this bill, is that you have to have a written agreement. And the written agreement is a separate written agreement between the landlord and the tenant so they understand the terms of the parking lot. You know, this issue is an important issue for both landlords and tenants, because in areas such as Portland, where a lot of times your parking spot is more valuable than anything else because it's difficult in some areas to find parking, you can have a unit, a four-unit complex, downtown Eugene, Portland, areas like that, where you only have four spots. And so it has to be some clear guidelines and a clear understanding so there's no confusion. I think a lot of the problems that we found when having this discussion is maybe people didn't understand exactly what was expected of them on both sides. And I think then when people are getting towed unnecessarily, you're creating a conflict that we wanted to resolve. And that's why the written agreement is important part of this particular bill. I think in some of the questions that Representative Nelson asked on whether someone else can come and use that parking spot, a lot of that would be in that written agreement. And so as long as the written agreement says that you can use that spot, one of the things that we wanted to try to protect, though, in the tenant's interest, is if you have those same four spots, is the ability for someone to come in and park in another spot, because obviously that creates another conflict because another tenant then is out of their spot. And so you still need the ability, and it's a fine balance of how do you make sure that people aren't stealing spots, because there is areas of the state, Portland being one of them, where people are trying to go in and park in other people's spots, and it's pretty frustrating for the tenant to come home, long day of work, and all of a sudden they're supposed to have a spot in that parking lot and they can't get in. And so there were some problems on from the towing perspective. I think Senate Bill 116, along with this bill, it's a companion bill, I view it with that bill, does a lot to remedy. As Sybil indicated, there is some issues in here that we just wanted an extra day to make sure that people like John Van Lanningham, who's kind of the chief architect of the landlord-tenant law, double-check the words to make sure they're right. Sybil indicated there's some issues on line 23 on page 2, where it says apply to a landlord of a facility. I believe that because there was an agreement that this should not apply to manufactured housing facilities, because that's different. They're normally on their own space. I think that's what that's supposed to read. But again, until we double check this, as well as Norton Cabell, who's a landlord in Eugene, who is kind of the key person negotiating the language in this bill. And so I apologize. I would like to say, I'd love to say that we were ready today. But without their eyes looking over this, and I think getting back to Representative Bonamici's question on damages, those things, we would just kindly request just an extra day to make sure it's right. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is part of the landlord-tenant law. How does this protect the neighbor? And that's the story we heard before you came up. This was the neighbor that has the problem. How does this protect the neighbor?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Riley, I'd love to be able to answer that question. However, what happened to Sean, I'm very sympathetic to what happened to him, because literally that is off his own private property. And we, landlord-tenant law only only can get into the relationship of how that arrangement's going to work. You know, how do you regulate somebody taking something off their own private property? Sure. That is wrong. I'll tell you right now, I just don't know how to address that. It doesn't address that in this bill.
Right. Follow up. I want to hear from each of you if you think that this bill really addresses the full problem and if you think it goes far enough.
Speaking for the League of Cities, I think I like the suggestion of seeing how the industry responds to what happens this session. It seems to me there's been a lot of media publicity. There's some legislation that goes partway, perhaps, maybe not as far as some would like. And if the industry is not responsive, then, as I've heard said in this building often, there's always next session. So I'm not sure how else to answer that question. I've not been actively participating in these discussions, but cities certainly get these complaints to their city councils when this happens, and we have home rule authority to adopt our own local ordinances, and there are different approaches in cities to try to address it, but more uniformity is probably a good idea.
Yeah. Chair Holvey, Representative Riley, members of the committee, I would say I agree with the your comments, and the only other thing I would add is that I think Senate Bill 116, which is the bill that regulates the towing industry, is really, in my experience, and I work with landlords and tenants in my job, I haven't worked as much for the towing industry, but it seems to me where things get really difficult for tenants, who are my primary clients, is when there is an understanding, a misunderstanding, and maybe a misuse or a misapplication of the authority of towing companies looking for you know, a buck, essentially. And I think that Senate Bill 116 significantly reduces the ability for that practice. And I want to be very clear that I understand and we have heard from and worked with many towing companies in the towing industry who are appalled by that sort of behavior. So don't mean to say that it's the industry that is inappropriate. I think it's a few rogues who are inflicting great damage. But this bill is just the landlord-tenant residential relationship, and I don't think this bill is able to go further to get at that those practices, but I think it does a good job the way it, it is.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Riley, if I can respond. I think the same question was asked on the Senate side, and I think we do want to see how everything responds, the industry responds with Senate Bill 116, and how this may help with the landlord-tenant relationship. We're hoping the combination of the two solves the problem. If it doesn't, I'm sure we'll be back next session.
Final follow-up, if I may.
Follow-up.
And this is more of a comment, and I hope it does solve the problem. One of the things that I fear, however, is that we'll see a short-term compliance. And once people forget about the publicity and the fact that we were here, that you all were here, that the practice will resume. And that concerns me significantly. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Nelson.
Yes. Thank you for being here. All of you, your names all begin with S. This is really interesting today to me. And Senator Gardley, yes, too. Senator. Nowhere in here is it specified that this apartment complex is. So my rentals that are all over state of Oregon, I mean, do I have to make arrangements with every person that lives in every rental house I own everywhere on earth?
Mr. Chair,
like I own any, but anyway,
Vice Chair Nelson, this would only address a landlord-tenant relationship if you want to be able to tow. And so if you have like a towing relationship or, say, have posted signs and want to have that agreement, this would only address that particular issue.
Sorry to interrupt, and Representative Nelson, Chair Holvey,
send that in here.
Members, the Senate Bill 116 requires landlords of a certain size with a certain number of spaces, and I'll get some of these details wrong, but that's the bill that requires the posting of information about and the providing of information to people whose cars have been towed about where to contact their cars and how to get their cars back, and the process that the regulation of the process by which people can get their cars back. This bill, within the context of the landlord-tenant relationship, only requires a written agreement between a landlord and a tower if you're towing for a violation of a sticker. So if you want to tow somebody because the emergency exit is blocked, then you have the right to do that as a landlord because your emergency exit is blocked. And you don't need to have a previously existing relationship with a tow company under this bill to do that. Senate Bill 116 would require you, if you're over a certain size and number of spaces, to post in your parking lot the identification, the information about the towing company, so that everybody's on notice about who they can call if they have questions, if they show up and their car is not there. But does that answer your question?
Well, kind of.
Follow up.
Yes, follow up, please. Yes, but, you know, I guess I'm just thinking of every duplex that I own, I have to post it. Or in the rental agreement every year, do I have to get a new understanding that I'm going to tow your friend's cars if you park, you know, in the neighbor's alley or whatever?
I think the two bills in combination would require that if you were a big enough landlord, you would have to post the information in your parking lot.
And every one of them, no matter where.
If you're big enough, yes. I don't know. I can't remember the exact size limitation, but if you're big enough, you have to post it.
Three spaces, wasn't it?
Three spaces.
It went down, I think, from 10 to 3.
And that is a different bill,
that's
correct?
That's a different bill.
So let's try to stick on this bill one at a time for me. So any other questions from the committee? I think I want to follow up with one of the pieces of the original bill, not in on page 2. The amendment basically takes the whole bill and replaces it. But on page 2, lines 8 through 13 are deleted out of the amendment. Was that section just really not necessary for the purposes of this bill, or can you explain why it was taken out?
I'll double check this with Mr. Chairman, with the folks that wrote this, but I believe this is really addressed in Senate Bill 116, and I think it was removed since that bill did pass. I don't think we need to talk about a relationship between the landlord and a towing business because, again, this is only dealing with the landlord-tenant relationship, and I don't think we needed that in this bill. So I'll double-check that, but that's my understanding.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking it was. But and to follow up, I think, on something Representative Nelson asked earlier about damages that are caused by the towing company, is that addressed somewhere else in statute where a towing company can be liable for damages they cause to a vehicle?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's probably a better question for the towing folks. I don't know if it's addressed in 116, but I think if someone does provide damage, I think you'd normally be responsible for it. I can't tell you if it is addressed by another statute. I think it's a good question.
Well, obviously, it seems like it could go through the small claims court and go through that process, but nothing in statute really.
I don't know.
Addresses that.
Al can probably come up and answer.
We'll get to that. No other questions? I appreciate your testimony, and I guess we'll come back and revisit this bill. Is there somebody else who'd like to come up and testify on this bill?
Well, Mr. Chair, for the record, Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Tow Truck Association. Related to damages, the only portion I understand is the small claims court piece where I have seen that occur, but I will check and see how this does or does not relate to the other. In relation to the amendment to the bill, I have the same questions others have on page 2, lines 22 to 26, and the definition, and we'll work with Sean in relation to clearing up what that does say or does not say, and specifically small b, I don't understand what that does either, so I haven't seen that language before. But the rest of it is pretty much what we, the landlord group, worked out in meetings with us, so That's all I have to add.
All right. Thank you. Do you have a question, Representative Nelson?
Yes, I do. Please, Mr. Chair. Al, if what's the norm if a tow company makes the mistake and, you know, tows away somebody's car they shouldn't have towed away? What's the usual damages that are settled?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, from the testimony that we heard in the Senate, it was a refund of some sort, but I don't know if there is a standard norm for that industry-wide. There's only a few companies that actually get into the private property impounding because it's such a volatile issue, but the ones that I have talked to do the refunds if there is a mistake.
Yes, and is it the usual thing? I never thought of calling tow drivers, or what do you call it? Tow truck drivers?
Yeah, I think
that's the way you say it. I never. I don't know why that's so hard to say, but I never thought of calling them predatory, you know, like I'm here now. But is that the norm, that they work on commissions?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I believe it is the norm for the bigger companies.
Yes.
I do not believe it is the norm for the smaller companies, but I got that question and I written down and I will ask, but I think that's the norm right now. Mm-hmm. That's the answer I have right at the moment.
Okay. Any further questions? Appreciate you coming up and adding a little bit of clarity for us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
No, committee, I guess we'll revisit this bill yet again. So at this time, I think I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 431A and reopen Senate Bill 595A. And Monty King, Rebecca Edwards, and April McVeigh, I believe. And I guess we'll hear from the proponents first.
Good afternoon. I'm April McVeigh with Oregon Power Sports Association. Chair Holden and members, we're bringing this to you basically as a change. It was something that was deleted. There was no representation at the time that the original bill was written. And so we're bringing it to you just to ask that we add RVs, trailers, motorcycles, scooters, ATVs, so that we can actually let them offer limited insurance to their customers. So we're just asking for your support today, asking that this change gets in.
Thank you for that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Rebecca Edwards, and I have a small RV rental business, and I've traveled over 200 miles to be here today, and I am a member of OPSA, and it came to my attention within the last year that there was this oversight, and I began asking questions and contacted Monty and asked him, you know, why are we left out of this and what can we do? And he said, I don't know, but I'll check. And so between him and Senator Atkinson's office, we're here today, and I just am amazed at how quickly we've gotten to this stage, and just ask for your support. I think it's very important for the consumer, but also for me and my small business and the growth and protection thereof. So, thank you.
My name is Monty King. I'm president of the Oregon Vehicle Dealer Association, and I didn't travel 200 miles. I think you can tell that this might be Rebecca's first time in front of the committee. I think she did pretty well. The amendments you see in front of you, the A2 and A3 amendments, when the bill was passed out of the Senate committee 5-0, we noticed somebody didn't take out the word motor in line 10. So the A2 takes out the word motor because it needs to deal with vehicle dealers as opposed to motor vehicle dealers, because Rebecca has trailers that don't have motors. So that was just a technical change there. and we also asked for the A3 so they could begin offering insurance to their customers this year instead of having to wait until next summer. And have another year of being deprived of that right to, one, provide insurance, and the consumers being able to buy insurance to protect themselves. This basically, this gives the right to a dealer to have a limited insurance license. They don't have to have the full meal deal insurance license where you got to go to school and have 25 hours of continuing education. It's the same thing that Hertz and Enterprise and all those kind of places are already selling. So this isn't a new thing. We talked with the insurance division. They have no problems with it. They were not even going to go over and testify. They caused some problems. OIDA said they were in support of it. We talked with the rental industry, who's also represented by Mr. Elkins. They have no problem with it. We have no opposition that I know of. So I think it's a real good deal for both consumers and business.
So we're looking at the A2 and A3 amendments specifically going into this bill before we would move it, and both of them, not just one of them.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is correct. I actually asked for two amendments, one just for the motor, and then one for the motor and the emergency one. Somebody lost the second one. We just got it today at like 12:30, so. And the way they wrote it, you got to do both to do the right thing, I think. So.
All righty. Questions? Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. King, can you just explain, and I'm sorry if you already did this, why the deletion of motor? Is it just because I'm looking at all these? Is it because of trailer?
Yeah, trailer.
Is it the trailer?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bonamici, that is correct.
Okay.
Representative Nelson.
Yes. You know, in the past, every time we would rent a vehicle, a travel trailer or something like that, we just add a rider to our regular policy. Am I thinking of something totally different from this? So
no.
Most people have their own insurance already, and it seems very reasonable to do that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, you are correct. People can do that. But when I've been talking with the people in the industry, they can't always do that for some reason. Or they're here from out of state, or they didn't think about it, and they want to rent a trailer. Or, I mean, maybe you can say something about that, Rebecca.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, we are finding more and more where people are unable to get that rider on a non-owned rental, such as a recreational trailer, where their insurance company will not extend comp and collision coverage to something they do not own, and that puts us at tremendous risk. It also puts the consumer at a tremendous risk. And consequently, we're unable to rent to them, so their vacation plans are, you know, unable to be followed through with, and maybe they have to go somewhere else for their vacation or not tour the Pacific Northwest, which so many people like to come here and do, and they love being able to rent a trailer and go do that. So this would just, I think, help tourism as well as the consumer directly. Mm-hmm.
Representative Gilliam, did you have a question? I just want to remind you that Representative Girard does have an appointment this afternoon, so if you can keep it short if you do.
I will. Actually, Mr. Chair,
thank you for your
eagle eye in noticing that I had a question, but miraculously, Representative Nelson was actually thinking ahead of me.
Thanks for that compliment, I hope.
And my question's been answered.
Thank you.
I was waiting for your question to be answered, Park. Thank you very much. Any other questions from the committee? It doesn't look like there's any more questions. Let's see if we can get this done and get you back on the road.
Where did you come from,
with that?
Central Point.
With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 595 and open a work session on Senate Bill 595.
Chair, I move that we adopt the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 595.
Representative Bonamici moves we adopt the dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 595. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, they are adopted. Representative Bonamici?
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 595.
Representative Bonamici moves we adopt the dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 595A. Any objection? Seeing none, they are adopted. Representative Bonamici.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 595 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Bonamici moves Senate Bill 595A to the floor with a due pass recommendation, as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Riley, would you call the roll, please?
Representative
Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative
Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative
Riley?
Aye.
Representative
Bonamici?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 595A, having received the majority required, the motion is declared pass and moves to the floor with a due pass. Would we like to put this on the consent calendar, or would somebody like to...
We wouldn't, because there were many today that needed people wanted to talk about.
There's your carrier.
No, Gilliam wants to.
No, I think it's Nelson.
Because he
this is an economic development bill.
He was the one talking about stubbing your towing.
Oh.
And I think he would make
it... Mr. Chair, I'm so sorry. She's out of control. I apologize.
He wanted to...
Representative Gilliam, thank you very much for volunteering. I appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, you were already reported.
Not noted.
Before you gavel out, Mr. Chair, before you gavel out, may I address the committee?
I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 595A.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Gilliam, do you have a comment before we adjourn?
I do. Mr. Chair, the Benedictine sisters in my district make mustard, and I've purchased some for the committee members, and I'd like to give you each one. Plus, if there are any members or witnesses that have driven beyond 200 miles, I'd like to give them one too.
If they were listening.
Yeah.
Could I speak to you?
On the record or off the record?
Representative
Bluzio.
Yes.
Excuse me, can we finish our meeting, please?
Sorry.
Two things for the record. One, I want to note your leadership as chair. I've never heard a witness, Ms. Edwards said she was amazed at how quickly we've gotten to this stage, and I think that's testament to your leadership. And I hope Ms. Edwards will go home and anytime someone brings up the state legislature, you'll say something to that effect. I think that would be great. And then secondly, Mr. Dixon claimed that the notebooks that we get every day somehow have been disappearing, and I was accused. And I want to say I have not been taking any notebooks. However, on the way here, I did find several notebooks, so I did bring these with me, and I think they've been hiding, so I wanted to get that on the record.
And Mr. Chair?
I got to adjourn.
Wait, before we adjourn, I would just like to say that I noticed Representative Gilliam carrying out a yellow pen.
For the record, Representative Gilliam.
Wow, it's a true confession.
House Committee on Consumer Protection is closed.
Thank you, Representative.